It's Charles Barkley here with Wayfair. And let me tell you, game day is serious business at my house. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grill accessories, Wayfair's got it all. And it shows up fast. I'm talking fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game. And head to Wayfair.com to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO, YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
You know, recommendations can be great. Maybe someone recommended this podcast, and here you are. But home projects are different. If a podcast isn't your thing, you lose a few minutes. If you hire your cousin's neighbor to mount your TV, you might end up with a lopsided screen and wall damage. Maybe I know a guy just isn't enough for your home. That's why Thumbtack works. It matches you with top-rated local pros with photos, reviews, and credentials all in one place. For your next home project, try Thumbtack. Hire the right pro today.
He always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Welcome everybody here to this episode of the Lakers Lounge podcast. Apologies here for just my voice at the onset of the show. We had some audio issues with StreamYard at the very beginning of it. The chat alerted us. Tim then told me. I fixed it live on the air. You don't need to hear all of that. It was all of the niceties that most people don't even like from podcasts anyway. So I'm just going to go ahead, skip all of that stuff, and jump right into the conversation once it starts sounding decent. All right? Cool. Bye. All right. We will go ahead and continue on. I'm sorry, guys. That is a really annoying thing to have happen in the middle of the show. So anyway, so what did you think of the second season that JJ Redick had, just kind of in a macro sense? You come into the season, you're thinking that it's he's still has a ton to learn. He was coming off of a frankly embarrassing performance in that Minnesota Timberwolves series. And that was certainly something I was a little nervous about going into year two. What did you think about, his performance now compared to your expectations going in?
Yeah, I think year two, the floor was definitely better. There were few of those rookie mistakes, like no subs in the second half of a playoff game. That shouldn't Crazy. Happen. It had never happened. It won't happen again. Things like that were, to the layperson, to, find a person on the street that's not, a Lakers fanatic, like me or anybody like that, and they'll tell you, like, that's crazy, why would he do that? Those sorts of things weren't there. There weren't, like,
hey,
long
how
stretches.
How dare you mention that? Would you mention that if he wasn't a first-year coach? How dare you?
And that's the thing, right? Like, everything's on a curve, and it makes it hard to talk about, because before you give any sort of input, you have to say, all right, well, what's the scale? Is the scale comparing him to the other, like, NBA head coaches who had never been a coach before? Because if you look at that, he's already one of the best. It's like Steve Kerr, JJ, and then nearly everyone else that's done that in their first stint, wherever that was, flamed out pretty quickly. Year two or year three, almost all of them had an awful win percentage or were fired in the middle of the season or some mix of those, or lost the locker room very quickly. And JJ has been able to navigate through that, the feedback that I got last year from the locker room, the feedback I got this year from agents and players was he communicates well and he communicates so much better than Ham and his staff. And the people side, the leadership side, it's just night and day. Yeah. And I think you can't, you can, you know, you want to be good with the X's and O's. I think the X's and O's can win you a title or lose you a title. But if you don't have the leadership side down, you're not going to have a chance to get to that point because you're going to lose the locker room. And that hasn't been an issue. But I also think that he's cleaned up some of the things that were providing a lower floor on certain occasions, especially in the playoffs. And so that was good. But I would say for the most part, when I look at the game, and I'm an X's and O's guy, I've got a lot of smart data people I employ, and I try to learn the most from that, and I use a lot of data. A lot of what they were good at year one, they were good at in year two. A lot of where they struggled in year one, they struggled in year two. And when I look at the metrics that I have in front of me that look at like how well are we optimizing our roster, it was about the same. And when I look schematically, X's and O's wise, like they were really strong attacking hedging in year one. Same thing here. They were pretty weak attacking drop in year one. Same thing here. The players changed a little bit. The injury situation changed a little bit. But looking at like the specific decisions that were made and what he's drawn up on the whiteboard and what they're putting on the film, it was a lot of the same, which in some cases was good. In other cases was concerning. In some cases, like the fact they were the switchiest defense in the league, I was frankly surprised. Because I didn't think this roster lined up to be the switchiest roster in the league. So I was left encouraged in some ways, concerned in others. I still think we have a lot to learn. But to me, him getting more playoff experience and being able to hold serve, be able to return a couple adjustments, I think that was a really good step forward. I don't think they were perfect. I still think there were things they can improve upon, but it was a step in the right direction.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes.
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
Hey, sweetie, your mother showed me this Carvana thing for selling the car. I'm going to give it a try. Wish me luck. Me again. I put in the license plate. It gave me an offer. Unbelievable. Okay, I accepted the offer. They're picking it up Tuesday from the driveway. I haven't even left my chair. It's done. The car is gone. I'm holding a check. Anyway, Carvana, give it a whirl. Love ya.
So good, you'll want to leave a voicemail about it. Sell your car today on
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I agree with essentially everything you said there. And I think most specifically, the point that I hope we hammer home over the course of the show is that, you know, the amount that they switch and, you know, some of the offense that they run systemically and his kind of vision of basketball aligning with the Lakers' actual roster. I think that's my biggest concern for him moving forward. And hopefully this offseason, Rob Pelinka and he will work together to build a roster that more closely aligns with his basketball ideology so that, you know, he doesn't have to compromise per se as much. But I do think that is probably the fairest criticism of his tenure so far is that I don't always get the sense, even though he says it's something that he wants to be really, really good at, I don't always get the sense that he, it's really clear sometimes that he is coaching a roster that he wishes looked a certain way, right? And the switchiness, like if you're switching as frequently as the Lakers switch, and you have Austin Reeves and Luka Doncic on the court, well, then you're kind of sort of doing the other team's job for them. And when you're switching to the extent that they do while you have Jared Vanderbilt on the court, and it's really easy to get Jared Vanderbilt off of the guy that he's on the ball for, and even, frankly, on the court to guard, again, you're kind of sort of doing the other team's job for them. And I think that commitment to those, you know, again, ideologies, especially defensively, that's something that I am a little nervous about. Hopefully the Lakers are you know, go into next year with a team that can be more switchy. But to a certain extent, if you have Luka and Austin, you aren't going to be very switchy. Like you know, if you switch too easily, then you're going to have Austin either on the ball more than he should be, or even more dangerously as the operating as the low man, which I thought you did a really good job of charting in the postseason where, and I'll get out of your way here again in a second, but like I people oftentimes when they think of Austin's, you know, defensive, shortcomings, they think of him being put on an island and having to guard out there in isolation. But what I think is far more detrimental to the Lakers' defense is when he finds himself as a rim protector, which he has basically no shot at.
Yeah, let me read off some names here. Nikola Jokic, Alperen Şengün, Joel Embiid, Evan Mobley, Austin Reeves, Jared Allen, Chet Holmgren. One of these names is not like the others. These are the NBA leaders in the playoffs in shots contested at the rim. Austin should not be that high. He should not be that. He's too short, right? Like part of switching, the idea of switching in theory is we are able to take away your ball screens and your off ball screens by like killing the action through switching. And there are plays you can run to attack switching. I would love if the Lakers offense did more of them, but ideally in theory, it pushes the offense towards iso ball, whether that's on the perimeter or the post. But if you switch too willingly, too easily, and the personnel you have isn't five guys that are comparably sized where it really doesn't matter where they are. They can either be on ball or they can be a rim protector. Like that's great. That's ideal. If you have a roster like the Lakers roster where there's like one and a half rim protectors, it's critical that that guy stays by the rim. Like, I don't care if it's Rudy Gobert, Anthony Davis, like, pick your rim protector. If they're standing guarding someone at the three-point line and they can't rotate, they don't matter as a rim protector because they're not there. And way too often, the little things within switching, the team wasn't doing well. It was, you know, you could have your 101, your 201, your 301, your 401 classes in college. LA's right now at, like, 201 with switching. And a lot of the little things that you can do to still switch but be more effective at it, they haven't engaged in as often. And that is how you end up with Austin Reeves as your top rim protector in the playoffs and your centers being so low on the list. So like we do think of who's that guy that's getting cooked on the island, but there are a lot of plays guys get cooked on the island and it doesn't matter. And it's not a highlight because the right rim protector's in place. And with how the Lakers defended, there was no rim protection and opponent shot, let's see here, 73% at the rim against Austin Reeves in the playoffs. And that is how like Austin can look bad, but you know, whoever it is, whether that's DeAndre Ayton or Luke Kennard or, you know, pick whoever it is on the playoff that, on the perimeter that's getting blown by, they end up getting, you know, fingers pointed at them. Whereas it should be a team defensive thing. So that to me was infuriating defensively. It's like, you can be better at this, but they're not really engaging in that. So I'd love to see them spend this offseason, study the best switching defenses, try to maybe poach some coaches from other good switching defenses, do what you can do. If this is truly how JJ wants to play, to your point, try to surround him with players that match that identity and vision, but then also try to find the little nuances within it to be better at it. Like Frank Vogel, masterclass drop coverage. It was not working switching. He is a like very much out of his element with that.
Yeah.
JJ is, he wants to switch, but he's not at that masterclass level yet. And so we're not able to overcome some of the roster shortcomings, which at the end of the day, fans and media can still point to the players and say, well, he got beat. He didn't rotate well. He didn't stay in front on the perimeter. And it, at the end of the day, trickles down to the players, but coaching decisions help set them up for success or failure. So I think that's key. And I mean, offensively, it's the same kind of deal where the offense we see and what JJ wants to do is run JJ Redick offense. It's JJ Redick, the player kind of stuff where we see like such a high percentage of what the team is doing be off ball screens. And when you are building an offense, you want to build it around your best players. You don't want to build it around Dalton Knecht in year one and Luke Kennard in year two. And when I'm looking at like these Lakers players this season, Luka had a career high usage in off-ball screens. LeBron, only his rookie year was higher than this year. Austin was at a career high. Kennard was 0.2 percentage point off of a career high. Rui was at a career high. And like when you think of this team in theory, you think of the star players, you're not in theory like thinking of, you know, pin down some flare screens, let's run Steph Curry, Klay Thompson offense. And it just seems like a little bit of a mismatch with what in theory gets you the most impact out of the skill sets that you have to play with.
Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves.
You hear that?
YOLO!
That's an internet troll telling you to put all your money into a single investment.
YOLO! YOLO! YOLO!
He wants you to liquidate your emergency fund.
YOLO!
And buy a digital racehorse named Silicon Steve.
YOLO!
Stay vigilant. He's very persistent.
YOLO!
Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.
I want to talk about, because part of this too is, especially with a coach who is as young as JJ Redick is, one of the things I remember covering, you know, the Lakers search for assistant coaches and being kind of concerned by that process. And you and I were sending messages back and forth, you know, during that process of like, I don't know about this staff. And I do think that they have done better as a coaching staff than I thought they would. As you kind of alluded to, I will also echo the concerns from the locker room dissipated significantly after Darvin was gone, to such an extent that like it almost didn't matter who followed him, that it was going to get better. But I do think that, like, you know, a coaching staff, an assistant coaching staff that I was pretty nervous about going in, I would say I have been pleasantly surprised by. I don't know how much of that is expectations or what, but I you know, we've even heard Greg St. Jean come up in the Portland Trailblazers coaching search. I thought that was, you know, that caught my attention. What do you think of the job that the coaching staff has done here, and specifically as it pertains to some of these ideas that JJ Redick has that clearly come from his experience as a player? Could the staff be doing a maybe a bit better of a job to kind of guide him into the strengths of this Lakers roster rather than strictly from the experiences that JJ had as a player?
So to answer your question, yeah, I think that there could be more support from the rest of the coaching staff. Like, we focus so much on the head coach, and at the end of the day, they're the face on the pictures, they're the name on the you know, press releases, they're the guy talking to the media. But it's an infrastructure. It's a whole staff that ends up making a difference, and especially for someone that is coming in without that experience, without having developed all of those little nuances and skill sets, because a head coach has to do a lot. And a head coach is different from an OC, different from a DC, a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator, all these mm-hmm. different things. They're different jobs, different roles and responsibilities. And you want to have strong people across the board. And I know for me, like, the number one concern I have had with JJ as a candidate was he hasn't coached with anybody. Who is he going to bring in?
Right.
He hasn't exactly been in the trenches. He hasn't developed those relationships. He hasn't had time to grow a network to be able to pull from. And we saw that play out where the entirety of the coaching staff were folks that just happened to be jobless at the time, most of them having been terminated from their last job for, in many cases, poor performance, other than Lindsay Harding, who was at the G League affiliate for the Kings. The Kings didn't have interest in bringing her up to the NBA team, and they were able to successfully poach there. But there were zero successful poaches from other NBA teams. And it seemed like on the salary side, LA wasn't competitive in terms of just having proof of concept. I don't know that I want to go leave my NBA coaching job for another team and go be part of this if, you know, is Rob on the hot seat? Is how much time will JJ have to figure it out? AD and LeBron, they're getting older. Like, it was a different situation then than it is now. And by now we have a younger core star with Luka. You have some real proof of concept with JJ as a coach. You have a GM that has been extended. You're getting additional infrastructure, executive roles, support staff investments. I would think LA should be in a much better position today than they were a couple of years ago to go grab good coaches from other teams, pay them more money, bring them over, and upgrade what you're bringing to the table. We saw, and I think to your point, there were fewer concerns or there was less chatter about the rest of the coaching staff as this experience has gone along. To me, part of that is Jay just really imposed his will. He's an intense guy. We see that with the media. He's like that behind the scenes. I mean, the information I was getting was in year one, about halfway into the year, he really reshaped what defensively their approach was going to be. And it became the JJ blueprint with the switch everything, shrink, have a compact shell. Like, that is what his vision was, and that's what he wanted to do. And he overrode what McMillan was doing as the DC and said, this is how we're going to play now, figure it out. And that is a style of defense Nate McMillan has never run. And so you are bringing someone in to be a specialist and to bring their experience and then not using it. And I think at that time, switching everything, especially after the AD trade with him being out of there and having only Jackson Hayes as your center, it made sense. But year two, it didn't quite make sense, but it was still the same thing. So I wasn't necessarily worried about it year one, but this year it was weird. And then offensively, I mean, the feedback I got year one for ATO's Greg St. Jean, he was drawing stuff up. He was helping, you know, figure out what they were going to run. This year, that responsibility was not his. JJ designed every ATO other than certain circumstances. And I know there was once or twice during the season where he did call out St. Jean for having an idea or drawing up a play, but like it was clarified to me after I was tweeting about it that no, this is not his job this year. And so with things like that, with things like the fact that like it very much looks like the JJ Redick offense in terms of the kinds of plays that they're running, just when you look at just how good are our ISO sets or our pick and roll sets or our post-up sets, they're more basic. The off-screen stuff, it's advanced. It's really good. And I think that's because that's JJ's experience. He's done it and he's good at it. He was not a post player, right? He was not a pick and roll guy. And I think he needs to bring in minds that have experience doing good stuff in those areas, and they should be able to be more effective. So like, go out, go see if you can grab people from the Knicks or the Hornets who have strong lead guards, good offensive optimization, overperform their talent offensively. The Cavs, the Celtics, the Thunder, other teams that overperformed well defensively, teams that optimize their rosters best in our metrics at B-Ball Index were Boston, the Thunder, the Trailblazers, the Spurs, and the Heat. Of those teams, Miami is one of the other top switch usage teams in the league. So maybe go see if you can grab, if Chris Quinn isn't offered a head coach job for the third cycle in a row, go throw him a bag and see if you can bring him in and try to improve what you're doing defensively. Like, I would want to be aggressive in surrounding JJ with the best folks that you can, because at the end of the day, he might ultimately be responsible with the wins and the losses, but that support staff is critical for the team's success.
I'm glad that you mentioned this, because there's this tendency, and I think the Lakers are kind of pre-wired for this tendency, where the coaching has been, I think, better than expected, and JJ has been kind of far enough ahead of schedule that the Lakers might think to themselves, no, this is working. Why should we mess with this? And I'm of the opinion that you should always be optimizing. You should always be evaluating. You should always be taking, you know, very honest notes about the internal processes that are going on. And I think there are still some spots that the Lakers could really improve in that regard. And frankly, like across the board, really, like not just in terms of replacing people, but adding to the staff. Like, one of the things that we've been harping on a lot recently on the show has been the Lakers' issues with developing younger talent, right? And if a player is already kind of wired to work on their own and they're this kind of self-sufficient and self-driven type of personality, that player does really well with the Lakers, because the Lakers like to say they empower that kind of self-determination. But if it's somebody who does need that extra guidance, does need the nagging and making sure that they're in and getting in the extra work and having that extra work be directed, that's something that the Lakers, I don't think have ever really been particularly good at. What kind of steps do you think the Lakers could take as Rob Pelinka and as JJ Redick talk about getting younger, getting more athletic and all this stuff? What kind of things would you be looking for as the Lakers look to develop youth better than they have?
It's a lot of different things. Like, you want to have a lot of player development comes behind the scenes. And so I can't see it on the film. I'm not going to be able to
almost tell you all of it's it, good or really. Bad.
Yeah, you know, like, yeah. Like Adu Thiro playing an extra 100 regular season minutes. How much does that matter for his player development? The research that's been done says it doesn't really matter that much. If you're going to play him substantially more minutes than maybe, but just getting him a little bit more on film, I think it's good, but you can still, like, there's still really high caliber play in the G League. And if he's able to get minutes there, you're looking at the film there, you're able to address mistakes there. Like, that matters too. I like those guys getting minutes where they can find them. If you can afford to do that because they're ready at the NBA level, great. If it has to come at the G League level, great. I am no player development expert, but I think a lot of it is having the data to track what you're doing. I think there were some pictures recently of the, is it the NOAA, I think is the name of the company, the shooting, you know, every time you shoot a shot, it shows you like the arc on the shot and where it landed on the rim. Little things like that help inform you so you can make the right tweaks instead of just saying, your percentage is low, let's help your percentage, or just shoot more. Like, if you're going to make actual tweaks to form, you know, have a shooting coach and use the right information to be able to advise that decision making.
Bye, everyone.
PNC Bank brings you Call of the Wild Money Moves. Shh, listen.
Hey, guys.
That's the sound of a multi-level marketing pitch.
This is life-changing, you guys.
Sounds like she wants you to buy lots of essential oils.
They are so essential.
And then have all your friends buy essential oils.
Are you more of a geranium or a lavender fan?
Don't look her in the eyes. Guard against wild money moves with PNC Bank. Brilliantly boring since 1865.